Welcome to Metaphysical Soul Speak. I'm your host, Elena Fox Starks. Hey guys, I hope you've had a lovely day or night, wherever in the world you may be at the moment in which you are hearing my little podcast. I didn't know what I was going to do the show on, and then earlier this man who is a friend of mine, Alonzo, had the weirdest picture on his Facebook Messenger feed, and it was of a woman, and she's naked, and she's like unzipping her flesh, and it's just a statue, it's not gory, and as she's opening, there's opening herself inside her heart and up and down are all these weird little heads like demon faces. And he wrote this really long explanation about when you have sex with a bunch of people, it's like you're attaching demons to yourself. Because you don't know what they've got and what you're going to get from them energetically. So I decided to do a show about that. And after I get through this introduction, that's what we're going to cover. We are going to cover everything there is to know. Almost everything. I can't cover it all, obviously. But everything you want to know or didn't want to know, or maybe you're afraid to ask, about spirit attachments, what they are, why they attach to themselves to you, attach themselves to you, excuse me. What are the signs you have a spirit attachment? What are the signs that it's just a spirit trying to communicate with you that is not an attachment or a negative entity? What are the different kinds that can attach to you? How do you get them? And most importantly, how do you get rid of them? Pretty helpful information, right? And you're going to be shocked because some of these signs of having a spirit attachment are very, very, very similar to ascension symptoms. So don't panic. Chances are you don't have this. But we're going to go over it and see what to do. If you do, see what to do if you suspect you do and you want to get rid of it. Fair enough, right? All right. I had some weird things, not weird things, not terribly weird things, but just some things today. Like, I've had the hardest time just trying to get my paperwork translated to Spanish, just getting my papers into the correct hands of somebody that was capable and willing to do it for hardly any money because it's usually $10 a page. And then I have to have each page notarized by Notary Public to the tune of $26 a page. You know, who knew paper could be so damn expensive? It all seems so damn arbitrary to me, but it's necessary when you're trying to have a residency in a foreign country, no matter who you are or where you are. Paperwork is really hard. In fact, somebody told me today that she just wanted to visit the United States for a couple weeks. She paid $800, gained all the paperwork together. It took her months. She went to the U.S. consulate and they said, Why do you want to go? And she said, oh, I've got a couple friends there, just tourism, and I'm coming right back. Got to go back to college. And they said, yeah, no. Just like that. $800 later, no, sorry. I mean, what a pain in the butt, right? So I know that all my paperwork is correct. Everything is correct. But they won't accept it if it's not in Spanish also, the translation. So I had a guy all lined up, and suddenly he's nowhere to be found. Found a second guy, and he said it would be $5 a page. And I'm like, oh my God, that's perfect. I was going to give him $5 a page and even maybe a $15 to $20 tip on top of that, especially if he's able to get it to me quickly. He told me he was living in Venezuela, and I thought, well, you know what? I definitely want to help out someone from Venezuela, you know? Hashtag pray for Venezuela, right? So I went ahead and contacted him today. I went downtown and I had all the papers scanned. I got my two copies of everything, which I'm supposed to get. And I just sent it to him. I had it emailed to him directly from the place as fast as I could today. And he looked at it and he wrote me back and he said $35 a page. And I'm like, what? $35 a page? I sent him literally a certified apostolized copy from the state of California, how much money I make, proof of the money that I make. And he knows I can't afford that. And he's like, yeah, $35 times 11 pages. You know, on top of the $26 a page I have to pay to get everything notarized, plus the $20 I have to pay someone to say locally that they are the ones that translated it and they checked it and everything's fine. So I was like, I don't think so. And then he says, well, I live in New York, so, you know, I'm trying to feed my family over here. I'm like, then why'd you lie to me and tell me you went to Venezuela? I mean, that you live in Venezuela. I'm like, are you kidding me right now? So I don't think it's understanding when someone says, I live in Venezuela. No mistake in those words. I live here. You know, and I said, are you in danger? Are you okay? And he's like, it's hard. You know, at any point, he could have said, well, I live in New York. Well, obviously, I'm not going to be able to afford you if you live in New York, right? You know, making a living there, it's, who can afford even a slice of pizza? It's $20 for a slice of pizza, $5 for a Coke, Coca-Cola, not Coke. But I mean, so I was just like, what the hell? I found a place that caters to the expatriates here. They speak English. I'm like, yeah, awesome. Went over there. They're closed, of course. Called the number. They said $10 a page. We could start tomorrow. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. That's what I was going to pay anyway. It was originally 10 bucks a page. It's just that the Venezuelan said $5. And I'm like, yeah, cool. So I went through this whole rigmarole. And my son's girlfriend said, well, you know, I could probably get my friend down to $8 a page. And he could do it this week. I'm like, you know what? Let's do it. She called him. He said $4 a page. I'm like, oh, my God. All this work, you know, all these people I went through, and there was a miracle waiting for me at the end of the whole thing. And there's 11 pages, so $44, which is a number that the angels are with me and that the universe is looking out for me and that everything's going to be fine. So, hashtag grateful for small miracles. You know, or I say, gracias a Dios por milagritos. Thank you, God, for small miracles. You know, I don't know. Have you guys had any small miracles this week? I hope so. Maybe you did and you didn't know it. You know, I might have to do a show on small miracles. Because miracles happen every single day. You're not aware of them a lot of times, so. Oh my God. So I'll get all my paperwork done. Got to go to a notary public by Thursday or Friday and get it all done and then fly over to Quito and have my appointment next week. And I'm hoping I can keep the show up every single day. I am planning on it. I'm going to be staying in a hostel with free Wi-Fi. And I'm going to try to spend 5 to 7 days in keto if I can. Probably, in all likelihood, it'll be 4 to 5 days. I've got to see how much it costs to take a train home. Going to fly there and try to take a train home. Otherwise, it's a 10-hour bus ride home, which is like, oh my God. I was also thinking about bringing maybe a small empty suitcase. So I want to go to the Otavalo market. And if I'm able to, for you guys, I want to try to record the sounds while I describe the scene to you of the Otavalo market. It's the oldest market place in South America, and it is 4,000 years old. So that's got to be super interesting, right? I mean, people bring, like, probably, I'm assuming there's like brujos y brujas, you know, the witchcraft market's probably there. If its existence is here at all in Ecuador, it's got to be at least a little small section of that. Every now and again, I see brujo stores here. They're pretty awesome. You know, you get your candles and your floor washes and protection and medals of the saints and different things, candles. Not as much, it's not as prevalent here as it is in Lima. My God, the marketplace there, it's seriously, it's like the Diagon Alley of the Spanish-speaking world. It's really crazy. I did do an episode on it. If you are a new listener and you haven't gone back through the other episodes, you might want to go check that one out. It's the Magical Marketplaces of Lima, Peru. It's pretty intense, that story. The things I saw there, oh my God. Literally, it was like out of a Harry Potter movie. So I'm hoping, you know, this next week, I'm going to warn you guys in advance in the event that I might have to take a day or two off. Don't be alarmed. I'm not dead. Didn't lose power, hopefully. Ojalá, inshallah. I did not lose power, God willing, and the creeks don't rise. But we are going to go. We're going to go over to Quito. It'll be my very first time there. I'm going to try to check out the Turkish mosque if I have time, and going to definitely take my kid literally to the center of the world. It's called Mitad el Mundo, the middle of the world. We're going to go stand literally on the equator. I don't know what that's going to feel like, but I imagine it's going to be pretty phenomenal. Kind of like when I snuck over the border of Brazil illegally and took a picture of myself standing underneath a sign saying, "You are in Brazil." I'm like, "Woohoo, I'm here legally." Then I got back in a tuk-tuk and quickly went back over to Colombia, where I was also there illegally. And then a week later, I crossed a boat. I took a boat across the Amazon River and went into Peru, where I was supposed to be. But, yeah, I don't know. I'm hoping I could get some interesting, not footage, I don't know what the word would be. Audio? Yeah, I guess audio. I'm hoping I could get some really cool and interesting and neat audio from you, for you guys. I think that you might actually enjoy it quite a bit. I know I'm going to be happy to go traveling again. I haven't traveled in like a year and a half, maybe. Well, I guess technically I did go to Guayaquil when I brought my oldest son to the airport, and we had 3 days together before he had his flight, and we went to the park, the iguana park, and we fed iguanas for hours. Apparently, they like to eat banana peels, which is the most insane thing I've ever seen in my life. And I got so many pictures of us taking, eating bananas and then feeding the peels to the iguanas. And they're adorable. And if you bring lettuce, you're not supposed to, apparently, but I brought them organic lettuce, so there's nothing wrong, no pesticides. Everything was good, but they love lettuce. It's like crack cocaine for these guys. I mean, they see the lettuce and they run at you. They start climbing up your legs. You it's like you haven't lived until you have 4 or 5, like 3 foot iguanas, like climbing up your legs. It was so insane. And then we got caught by the police. The nature has rights in Ecuador, and in places where the nature is protected, specifically the Galapagos iguanas, and they go there like on their own to this iguana park. It's really nuts. And it's not even out on the Galapagos Islands. It's inland. It's in Guayaquil, which is a port city. And we were seeing these iguanas. They were adorable. If you're afraid of lizards, they're not so adorable for you. But for me, I rather like these green guys. And they have little ringed tails. And they have little bits of orange on their tails. And they're so adorable. But their tails sometimes are black and white stripes. They're just so cute. And they would come up and they were like all opening their mouths. And it's like you don't want them to bite you, because even though they won't hurt you, there's bacteria in their mouth. And I think you might have to get amputated or something if they have the wrong bacteria, you know? So it's like really kind of, you got to be really careful. And when they're little tiny, they have claws and they scratch you accidentally, like much like a kitten would. Although sometimes kittens do it on purpose, I'm sure. But iguanas don't do it on purpose, but they can if they're scared. But they're trying to climb up your leg. Well, these guys scratched my legs, and I had these like little tiny infections on my legs for like 2 or 3 weeks after. It was like pretty crazy. I was like, oh my God, these little guys. But they were really sweet. So this is like the last traveling I did like a year ago. And the rest of it, I've just been in Cuenca and kind of stuck, kind of not, I don't know, trying to save my money and figure out my life. And now I'm doing my show every day, but, you know, and I'm having a good time. I love, love, love this city. But I'm excited, going to go travel next week. And hopefully I'm going to have amazing stories that I'll tell you guys everything, of course, of my travels. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be hard to breathe, though, I'm pretty sure. It's a pretty high elevation up there in Quito. So I'm going to stay 2 or 3 nights, and if I can't handle it, I'm going to go down down in elevation and go check out the Otavalo area and just try to explore a little bit more of this beautiful country. And then I'll come back to Cuenca and just do more and more of my show and get everything just going a little bit more. But anyway, I wanted to let you guys know that we have a little bit more of the Ascension Symptoms Scale, or Ascension Symptoms on the scale today. It's 98, basically. So we've come back up. Yesterday was pretty low. We had a break yesterday. Today, not as much of a break. For me, it wasn't really fatigue or anything. It was more like I was stressed about other stuff, so I wasn't paying attention, but tinnitus for sure. Like 2 or 3 times my kid had to be like, Mom, you're too loud. It's like, oh yeah, darn. I'm like screaming practically because the tinnitus got so loud I couldn't even hear myself. A couple times that was a bit ridiculous, but you know, I don't know. I think I cleared out mostly everything, but I did 2 or 3 times today, I did have to drain the emotional body, the mental body, just the way I've been telling you guys. It's been really helping me. I hope that it's helping you guys too. I think another thing that helped me is I had some hot flashes again today, which is something that everybody, even the men, are having as an ascension symptom, and sinus stuff again, still with all that. So I don't know, just be gentle with yourself if it's really, really affecting you. I've gotten into a space of being very accepting of the energy, and that seems to be helping quite a bit. So hopefully that information helps you. Schumann Resonance News today. They started early. Woohoo. They've been only doing it in the evening. So today at 8 a.m. UTC time, they state, It may seem like a calm day, but in reality, there have always been small amplitude movements. At 6 UTC, instead, there was a significant peak at 37 Hertz, which seems to be the start of today's activity. And then at 1700 UTC time, they say, the peak at 37 Hertz was the strongest today as the activity took place with sporadic peaks between 17 and 20 Hertz. All right, so we're starting to ramp up a little bit. I bet it's going to be over 40 tomorrow. I just have a feeling. 37, okay, that's cool. A little bit of a boost up, but not much of, as far as being in the way of the fifth dimension, which starts at 40 Hertz. This was just like a boost. We're not being forced today. Just like yesterday. I think it's amping up though. We're ramping up soon. I don't know if you guys can feel it. I know I can. I told you that I was going to start, in order for me to hold on to spiritual and energetic integrity, I'm going to read some words from A Course in Miracles every day. And today is lesson 3. And lesson 3 states, I do not understand anything I see in this room, on the street, from this window, or in this place. So again, that's I do not understand anything I see in this room, on the street, from this window, in this place. So go ahead and find, it's ACIM, stands for A Course in Miracles. .org. If you want, you could go download a free app. Like I stated on Sunday, this A Course in Miracles is absolutely free online. You could get it anywhere. There is no copyright because when they first published it, there was no copyright. And so their first 300 actual books, 300 published series of books or sets of books, because it's three in one. There's three books in one set. They didn't have a copyright. So then later they tried a copyright and then they tried to sue somebody, I guess, who had run with it because there was no copyright. And it all ended up in court. And then after this massive court battle, the court ruled, well, you guys started out without a copyright. So therefore it's in the public domain and anyone can use the material. So as a direct result of that, there are so many apps online you could get for free on your Google Play Store or your iTunes Play Store or Apple Play Store, maybe. I don't know. I can't afford that expensive phone, so I just use the Android. But pretty interesting stuff. So if you want to check it out for yourself and actually take the lessons and read them all the way through, that will be of great benefit to you. I guarantee it. For sure. Okay, I'm going to take a quick break, and when I come back, it's going to be all about spirit attachments. Everything you want to know about spirit attachments, but we're afraid to ask. All right, be right back. When you hear the words spirit attachment, do you tend to think of Linda Blair or Damien the Omen? Do you think of like really scary horror movies from the 1970s and 1980s? It's usually not as dramatic as all that, although some of these crazy stories that are based a little bit in reality are based on other stories that are true. They're pretty dramatic, right? And there's a lot of crazy stories out there. But it's more common than you would imagine. More common than you think. And so we're going to go over right now what it is, what attaches to people, I won't say to you, because maybe it is, maybe it isn't, but what is it all about? So basically, a spirit attachment is anything that attaches itself to your spirit body or your aura or your chakras or your physical body. And it starts to kind of feed off of you. Sorry, it's a really scary sort of word, the word feed. Some spirit attachments will feed off of your energy, like parasitically feeding you off of you. And I'm going to give you the signs of that in a minute. But what is a spirit attachment as far as that's where it can attach, like your body or your, you know, like your mental body, your emotional body, your aura. I've heard of spirit attachments attaching to your chakra. You know, they attach to your big toe or your small finger, you know, your pinky finger. But what are they? Mostly, they are spirits of the dead that somehow got earthbound. So they're bound to the earth. And then sometimes they bind themselves to you because for whatever reason, sometimes they think you could help them out of it. And sometimes it's a dark nature spirit, maybe an angry nature spirit. You know, like what if you cut down a tree without asking permission or letting the tree spirit know? And it gets very angry at you. You could have an attachment of an angry tree spirit, an angry flower spirit, or angry rock spirit. There could be a lot of angry spirits out there, especially if you go through life as an extreme ignoramus as far as the natural world is concerned. Don't piss off the fairies. I always told my kids that since they were little. Don't piss off the fairies. And one time, I've said this before, this story. One time, my little boy, when he was 2 years old, and his sister was like almost four, around 4 years old, he kind of shoved her a little bit. They got into an argument over some toy or something. And he pushed her a little bit. And we all felt this force rush like a wind in our hallway inside our house where all the windows and doors were closed. It was a spring day, but it was kind of cold out. So everything was kind of locked up. It was in the morning early, probably about 8 or 9 in the morning. And we're all sitting on the stairs and we're kind of having a conversation. And we were like 2 stairs up from the bottom, so it wasn't too high up, but this entity came and just shoved him against the wall and he fell down those 2 stairs. I caught him. I was like at the bottom and I caught him and I'm like, oh my God, you okay? And he's like, I made a fairy angry and he pushed me. I'm all, yeah, he did. And he was really scared. He just looked at me and he's just like, what do I do? I'm like, it didn't attach itself to him, but he was mad. Don't hurt your sibling. And I don't know what my oldest did, but my oldest did something to piss off the fairies once and woke up with her hair in knots, just in knots. And then we would make her hair all perfect. We'd make it all nice. And for like 2 or 3 nights in a row, knots, every night was knots. Like, I think you need to clean your room. I think that's what the problem is. You haven't picked up your toys. We've asked you to and you didn't do it. And the fairies are like acting, they're like acting nannies. They'll do that. So I helped my kids pick up their room And sure enough, her hair was not knots anymore. So don't piss off the fairies. I mean, really, just don't piss off the fairies. If you are surrounded by nature spirits and they love you and they're in your house and you've kind of welcomed them in, like we did, we loved all of nature. We lived with nature. And we tried to be very consciously aware. But sometimes we pissed off the spirits. They didn't attach themselves to us, but they can. It's rare, you know, but it can happen. So you could be having an attachment of a person who died, and they're earthbound and they're confused. They didn't go to the light. They didn't know what it was. One time I mentioned this story before too. There was a couple who appeared in my house a couple months ago. And they said, "We don't know what happened, but we think we're dead." Like, they're just standing in the living room one day. My son was like, "Mom, there's someone in the living room." I'm all, "Ask what they want." And he's like, "Mom, they're not human, or they're human, but they're dead. I feel them. I'm kind of scared." I'm all, "Oh, yeah." And I went in there and I'm like, "Oh, hey, guys." And it was a man and a woman. And they said that they were in a car accident and they figured out that they're dead and they don't know what to do about it. I'm like, "Well, what happened the night of the accident?" They said, "Well, we saw this light above the car when we got into the accident. We thought we're still alive. We thought it was a UFO. And we got really scared and we ran away from the light." I'm like, "Oh my God, that was your call to heaven." And they thought they were going to be beamed up into a spaceship and they were terrified. So sometimes spirits just get really kind of confused. They get really scared. Sometimes they're like, "Oh, hell no, I'm not going near that light. It might be a trap. It might be an alien. I don't know what to do." And so I helped them. I helped them go to heaven. I'm a shaman and I do this. I've helped tens of thousands of spirits cross over, actually. My girlfriend over in Canada, whose spirits by the thousands have been going to her lately this past couple. She's been busy. I haven't heard from her in 2 weeks. She's been just helping the spirits cross over. Thousands and thousands and thousands of earthbound spirits somehow found a passageway to her. She's a witch. She's a white witch, and she just helps everyone cross over. And so sometimes it's a dead spirit. Sometimes it's a dark nature spirit. And by dark, I mean they're just angry. And sometimes, because most of nature is not evil, most nature just is. It's not good or bad. It is. When they turn dark is just because they're angry. Do you guys remember Peter Pan and what Barry said about Tinkerbell? What the author said? That she was so little that she could only house one emotion at a time. And I thought that was adorable as a description. You know, that's why Tinkerbell would get jealous and all she would be was jealous, and she would get happy and all she would be was happy, you know. It's so adorable, but it can be true. I've seen nature spirits go into my neighbor's house when I was in Van Nuys, right there in the middle of the city. And someone had sent an angry nature spirit to my friend, and it created a tornado inside his house that was so strong. All of the papers, his books, things were knocked over. Shelves were off the wall. I mean, a tornado was literally inside of his house. And his house is always extremely neat. And he was yelling and we were like, "What? Oh my God." And we ran over there and it died down the minute we got there. And we saw some stuff still kind of going around in a circle and then like kind of laying themselves down. Like the papers are like laying on his table suddenly. And he was like shaking. He's like, "Someone just sent an angry entity my way." You know, he didn't know if it was an angry nature spirit. He thought that's what it was, but he said it could have been a demon. So sometimes demons can be sent to you and controlled. Sometimes nature spirits, if you try to control a nature spirit, it's definitely going to attach itself to you and make your life a living hell. Absolutely true. It will. So don't ever do that. And demons, there's still demons in the world. There's low-level demons in the world. There are some dark spirits around. Sometimes, though, what will attach itself to you is a negative thought form. So if you have a really negative thought and you send it out into the world and you don't think that thought for a while, it'll come back to you. It'll go and gain momentum elsewhere with the same similar types of thoughts. And then it'll come back to you and you send it back out in the world and it's like a snowball effect and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And then it attaches itself to you and it just sticks in your aura, but it's your own thought creation because you are a co-creator in this universe and you can create a negative thought form and it becomes like its own entity. Like super creepy, right? So you have to keep yourself clear. And we're going to go over how to do that at the end. So take notes if you haven't gotten a notebook and a pen. You might want to stop and you might want to rewind this part and take notes on it. But who or what can be attached, having a spirit attachment? You can even, by the way, have a positive spirit attachment that's not positive for you, but the spirit means well. Like my friend Katrin's grandmother from Sicily used to say, well, usually, you know, someone says they mean well, usually means he's a damn fool. So, yeah, I had a spirit attachment when I was, oh gosh, I was about 18 years old. In fact, my whole life. I was in a mission just north of Los Angeles. I think it was a San Fernando mission in the San Fernando Valley. And the Spaniards had come through and decided to, quote unquote, give those heathen Indians, you know, force the Native Americans into Catholicism and make them slaves. And they beat them if they didn't comply with the slavery, like, you know, let's beat God into them type of a thing. It's really horrible. And I got really angry at the nuns for perpetuating the idea that this is a good thing. This is a mission. This is where we beat the Indians, kids. So you best be on your best behavior. Ah, ha, ha, ha. Yeah, not so funny to me. I'm Cherokee. My grandpa grew up on a reservation. I was really angry at my parents for forcing me into Catholicism on that day, and I was really angry at the entire Catholic establishment on that day. Decided I'm not going to go along with that one. And within a year, I told the church off and I stopped going. My dad was excommunicated, so it made that easy. We became Lutheran, which I just put up with that for. I didn't want to be a Christian at all. I just associated all of it with maltreatment of Native Americans. So I guess while I was praying at the at an Indian burial mound, I'd escaped from the group and I went and prayed before Indian burial mound, and I was communicating telepathically with the spirits there, and I was telling them how much I'm sorry that that happened to them. I guess a priest, this is so creepy, a dead priest spirit attached himself to me to keep me safe because he was afraid for my life because I like to be alone a lot. Well, I didn't know that. I was like 8 years old when that happened. When I was around, I think I was like 18 or 19, I had taken a trip to Seattle, Washington, and I visited a church that, I visited a lot of New Age churches. I could not believe in the beginning stages of the New Age movement how many churches in Seattle there were. So I went up there on a trip with my boyfriend. We met up with my friend Don, and he took us to like 4 or 5 or 6 places that were New Agey and New Age bookstores. And it was incredible, incredible experience. And I went to this one place and I saw a psychic and he's like, you've got a priest attached to you. And he told me about when I was a little girl, when I was at the mission. And I was like, oh my God, I kind of remember that spirit being with me, but not saying anything. And he's like, well, he thinks he's your guardian, but he's not really doing you any favors. So let's let him loose, shall we? And that was the first time I'd ever heard of spirit attachments. Well, I had heard of it, but in the form of demon possession and negative entity possession and negative thought form possession. But I didn't know that spirits could attach to you with good intention. So we're going to go over now. What are the signs? Actually, before I get into what are the signs, I'm going to tell you, why? Why do people or thought forms or dead spirits or nature spirits, why would these things attach themselves to you? Usually, if you're negative, like attracts like, and the negative thought form will come to you. That's normal, right? Or, I mean, obvious. A demon will do, like, will want to attack you just because it's fun for a demon to feed on your fears, your anxiety, your worry, make you depressed, and then feed on that energy because they're like parasites. They like the negativity. They like the game of trying to get you and poke the bear. They like to feed on your anger. If you have an angry entity, you will be suddenly out of nowhere, freaking furious, angry, mad, just seeing red all the time out of nowhere. Sometimes the red you're seeing is literally the demon is red, attached itself to you, or the entity. I've seen, I'm not going to say her last name, but her first name is Barbara, and she is extremely famous for channeling Pleiadians. But when I went to see her, what was wrapped around her freaking head? Not a Pleiadian. It was an octopus. And it was so dark and so negative and so evil that I could not see her face. When I was standing right next to her under a bright light, she was still in shadow. That's how bad it was. I was shocked at the negativity in the evil entity. And when I tried to kind of poke it a little bit to see if I can't loosen it and get it off of her, she attacked me, like started screaming at me and screamed at my little girl who was 2 years old in front of like hundreds of people. 65 to 75% of the audience left. And when I called the next day to ask for my money back, because we left, most of the people had asked for their money back. And I was asking Archangel Michael to do battle with me. And Archangel Michael was like, I'm willing to do this battle, but you got to think long and hard before you ask me. And then my Grandma Marion, her spirit came to be with me, even though she was still alive. Was she still alive at that time? Sometimes she'd visit me even while she was still alive, so I don't remember now. No, she wasn't, because I had my son. So yeah, my son was 2, my daughter was 4. So Grandma Marion had already died. So Grandma Marion came and she's standing behind me. She said, think long and hard before you do this. And then she reminded me of another story in which Alice, who was her best friend and my husband's cousin, they knew this woman who had a demon in her house and was attached to her and was making negative vibration in her house and causing people to fight. And Alice was getting more and more concerned and asked Marion, please remove the demon from this lady. I mean, this is harming her. Now her health is bad. She had like gotten cancer or something. And Marion said, okay, look, I'm going to do this thing for you because you've asked me, but she did not ask me. And I'm going to tell her I'm going to do it. We'll see what she says. And she's like, okay. Well, after she removed the demon, she was very angry and she was screaming at them, like, why would you do that? That was my friend. Why would you do that? So while I'm standing there staring at this famous channeler who's written like 10 books on dealing with the Pleiades, Grandma Marion standing behind me going, we're going to show you a little more information. And I looked and I asked God and I asked Archangel Michael and Grandma Marion to show me. I saw things I'm not going to discuss, but in this person's childhood that created the situation in which she would ask for protection and the evil entity attached itself and lied and said it's a Pleiadian and would be more than pleased to protect her and would even make her famous and rich so that she would never have to go back to her family members that were harming her. And then Grandma Marion showed me that if I remove this thing, and I was willing, I mean, I'm going to do battle. I am a light warrior, right? So I'm going to do battle. And I'm going to save her. And then I saw, and then Grandma Marion showed me a line went out in front of me, a white line, and I saw down her timeline if what happens if I remove it. And she was going to lose her following, lose her ability to write, lose her money, lose her home. And I was going to be responsible. And she said, if you take on the responsibility of this, you have to see it through and take all of the responsibility. And then I saw this woman living in my home with me, this horrible woman that just screamed and shrieked at my daughter and cleared out her own audience because my daughter was so filled with light and love. I think my kid might be a spiritual master. Not sure, but she's a saint or a master. She's very high in vibration, and her vibration and mine and my husband's, although our daughter was more high in vibration than us, freaked her out. So anyway, I decided to turn away from doing battle. I decided that that's not my responsibility because I saw that she had asked when she was like 15 years old or 16 years old, she had asked for this entity, this octopus that was wrapped around her head. I mean, I saw the tentacles moving. It was like, I don't normally see stuff, and I saw it with my actual eyes, not just my third eye, guys. So, I mean, this stuff is real. This stuff is scary as fuck. You know, it's so scary. My friend Dawn told me a story about going and seeing entities around, wrap around people that look kind of like octopus or squid, wrap themselves around people that are drinking or addicted. He saw that in meditation. He saw it when he walked into a bar with a friend once. I read a book about that where a man, after he died, he went traveling through the cosmos and checked out a bunch of different things. And one of the things he was curious about was what makes people alcoholics from a spiritual side. A lot of times the spirits will attach themselves to you because you like to drink and they know that. And it's like your button they can push. They're going to poke the bear where your bear in this case would be your alcoholism or your propensity to drink. Maybe you weren't going to be an alcoholic, but you are now, now that you've got an alcoholic octopus wrapped around you. You know, last thing you need is the spirit attachment of a drunk lush loser type of person that, you know, and what I mean by loser, like they lost their house, their wife, their life, you know, their job, their everything, their kids, car, driver's license, you know, they lost everything, then they died. And then they look for someone that they can do the same thing to because they can attach themselves in a way that they still feel the energy of the alcohol because they're addicted so bad on a spiritual level that they feel like they still need that. They need to feed off the drama that it causes and the alcohol itself. There's a reason why they call alcohol spirits. Think about it. It's not always good. And when you look up absinthe, you look up labels of absinthe, you're going to be very creeped out because there's pictures of little demons on the bottles of absinthe, old-fashioned bottles. And so stuff is real. It's been known for a very long time. So sometimes a spirit wants to protect you and they have a false sense of responsibility for you. Or if they feel guilty about something and they need help, if they are lost or confused or dazed, they don't know what's going on, and you're the brightest light they could attach to because they missed the boat and they missed their own light going to heaven. Sometimes they miss the life that they used to have and you have a similar life. They want what you have, so they try to take it by siphoning your energy that you have after you have the thing they want. Sometimes they just want to be alive again, and they don't understand that once they go to heaven and go through the reincarnation cycle, they can have a life again. They don't know about that, so they get afraid. They're afraid to go to heaven. They think it's over. They see the light and they think, oh man, I'm maybe going to go into that and burn up like an incinerator. They get afraid. They're afraid it's going to hurt. A lot of times, they just want to make you addicted so they can continue their own addiction. They were that addicted. Pretty damn addicted, right? Or they just, you know, again, just want to feed off your negative energy, create it, and then feed off of it like it's food. Now, there is an entity, this is a very strange thing. I'll get into this on another day more, but there are entities called sin eaters, and they don't create the situation in your life, but if you work together in conjunction with the sin eater, they will reduce your karma down to zero by eating all of your negativity, your guilt, your anger, your sadness, thoughts and feelings of suicide, depression, and all the negative energies that you could possibly have, anxiety, PTSD. I've worked with sin eaters and I find it extremely helpful. They don't siphon off my energy. They're not an incubus or succubus, which is a form of demon that will try to seduce you into sexual relations, even in the middle of the night. So you might go to bed feeling all holy and spiritual and not even have sex on your mind. And you wake up in the middle of the night and suddenly you're very hot, hot and horny, and you want to do something, and you roll over and, hey, sweetie, grab the loved one near you or yourself if you're alone. And when you have the orgasm, they will actually feed off of your life force energy and steal a part of you, when you could get very, very, very sick when a succubus or an incubus is there siphoning off your sexual energy. And sometimes if you're making love to someone and you're having like a normal relationship, sometimes when you both have the orgasm, the incubus or the succubus will attach itself to you both or to one of you, and they will literally siphon off, because the energy of orgasm is so strong. It's a huge part of your life force. When you make love to somebody, you interchange that energy of love and the life force energy. Your energy goes into them and theirs goes into you. And I don't mean just, you know, heteronormative cisgender sex. This could be any kind of sex with anybody, you know, mutual orgasm or whatever, you know, men together, women together, doesn't matter. Gender doesn't matter. Sex of your, you know, body doesn't matter. It's just the energy of the orgasm that the succubus, the incubus will attach itself to you. Okay. So another thing though, that you need to be aware of when you do make love with somebody, when you do have sexual relations with them, whether you're in a relationship or you just met them an hour ago, you will be attached energetically to them for 10 freaking years. I did mention this in another episode a couple months back. Mentioning it again because it's very important. If you've ever taken magic mushrooms, the blue ones, you start to see that there's strings of energy between you and everything that you have touched. And you could be a psychic detective and take blue mushrooms, and you could walk into a room and say, when you first got home today, you went, you touched the TV, you touched that remote. That's the coffee cup you used, and that's the cupboard you went into. And look, there's the four books that you touched over there on the shelf. You could see it clearly, and you could tell how long ago it's been because the energetic pattern between that person and that object exists. It's real, but it's in a higher vibrational state, and it's in a higher dimension, and you're not always gonna see it. when you're on blue mushrooms, you could see it with your eyes, not just your psychic eye, not just your pineal gland, your third eye. Okay. So imagine when that's just hardly anything, you're just touching a book and then whatever, all he does is touch it for a few seconds. Yes, you are a spark of God. You are a piece of the divine. You are so powerful that you leave your trail. You leave a piece of you everywhere you go. That's why artists feel sad about parting ways with the piece of art that they made, because they literally put a piece of themselves into it. Their energy replenishes back, of course, and eventually the energy on the object dissipates. If they consciously put the energy in it, the energy won't dissipate until that object is destroyed through, you know, the natural way of things. If it's a piece of furniture, eventually it'll fall apart and then it'll rot in a landfill, and then the energy will be dissipated. But when it's another human being, their energy keeps your energy going, and your energy keeps their energy going. And now you've got a string and a connection and a giant freaking cord between you and that other person. Well, if you make love to somebody who has a super high vibration and they love you and you love them and you're going to be together forever and everything's wonderful, that might not be so bad. What if you have a one-night stand to somebody and you find out later they're a total freaking psychopath and they're like a horrible person and all of their world is drama and horribleness and sadness and disgusting energy? And now guess who gets to feel that? Right, you get to go on that journey with them, even if you never see them again. You have 10 long years to deal with that shit. Do you want to do that? No, I'm going to give you a way to get rid of that energy too. What if you're with someone for 5 years and you love them and then you have a horrible breakup? You still got 10 more years from the last contact before that energy's dissipated. Do you want to live with their energy for 10 more years? Probably not. You go through a nasty divorce, you don't want to live with that energy. No way. No way. No way in hell. You do want to live with that energy. So what I'm going to teach you a little bit, which I have gone over in past episodes. This part isn't new information, but I've noticed that there's a lot of new listeners. So, hey guys, I'm so happy to have you on board. Thank you for joining Metaphysical Soul Speak, Soul Family, Soul Tribe. That's the hashtags I use, hashtag Soul Tribe, hashtag Soul Family on my Twitter and Instagram. So you can find me. Also, so we can find each other, because we're all looking for the people that we are most in concert with. So, I'm going to go over some stuff in a little bit that will help you get rid of all of those attachments, whether they were good, bad, indifferent, weird, odd, eccentric, or oops, had a one-night stand and now I'm attached to someone for 10 years. Okay. It's okay. It happens to everybody. We've all done it. So we're going to figure all of this out. Now, what are the ways in which you could get this? How do you get a spirit attachment? How does this happen? Well, having sex, like I mentioned, their energy or their spirit kind of attaches to you, you know, a little bit. So you could get them in bars, as I mentioned. You could you could walk in completely clean as a whistle and walk out with not one, but two or three big octopus attachments to you coming out of a bar. I have a friend whose job it was, he was an alcoholic. In fact, he's born with fetal alcohol syndrome, and he didn't drink when I met him. He had been 9 years sober, showed me his chip and everything. Woohoo, good for him. He was a direct descendant of Geronimo, looked just like Geronimo too. It was pretty cool. And he showed me what he does. And he said his job literally is to go into this bar at the end of the night, after everyone goes home, and he locks up and he sages the place, and he's a shaman, and he gets rid of all of the entities and all of the spirits. And right when I said that, like, four or five things just flew up in my room. I've got spirits in here. Okay. I just asked Archangel Michael. They're not negative. I just saw a fairy. Hi, guys. Oh, my God. I have a lot of fairies in my room suddenly. Ooh, it gave me the chills. I got the goosebumps. Woo-hoo-hoo. Hey, guys. Oh, and now he's an actual moth. I haven't seen a moth in here in a while. Sometimes they come. Sometimes animals and insects will come right over to me, and then they'll land on me, and then they die right away. I am the angel of death, and if they know they're dying and they see that and they know me, it's kind of like a way that they pay homage to me. Kind of creepy, right? Sometimes little things will attach themselves to me for a few minutes and then they dissipate right away. Insects, usually their spirit will dissipate right away, especially if they're low level. You know, like bees do have a consciousness, and flies even have a consciousness, but things like silverfish, like their energy will dissipate right away. So don't panic and think little bugs and insects that you kill, especially like the little buggy ones, their energy dissipate right away. They're not going to attach themselves to you. That's not what I mean, by the way, by negative spirits, nature spirits. It's not bugs, so don't panic. So, all right, I know it's going through your head. You don't have millions of little bug energies attached to you. Don't panic. I just got the energy of reading that some of you are going to start to think that. Don't think that. In fact, all the things I can tell you about cleaning yourself, you're going to be fine. Don't worry. Channelers, when they try to channel information, they don't know what they're doing, will oftentimes begin to channel a demon. As the story I just told you a little bit ago, she might be getting some information from the Pleiadians, but she also has a big, fat, ugly demon wrapped around her head. And it's an octopus. It looks just like an octopus. So, cemeteries are one of the worst places. Oh my God, cemeteries. You could pick a lot of spirits up in a cemetery, man. Just, you got to be careful when you go to funerals, when you go to nursing homes, when you go to hospitals. I mean, all those places. And if you work in one of these places, you're going to want to clean yourself psychically every day, a couple times a day, most likely, especially if people are dying. If you live in a town where there's like a chemical spill, or Flint, Michigan, where people are dying a lot, best believe there's probably going to be some negative entities hanging out, because there are going to be people that are angry at how they died, and they're not going to want to go to heaven until they find justice. If you're a psychic medium, you can help them, but most people don't know what to do, how to do it, or even what's going on. All right, so those kind of places. Also, if you do spiritual rituals, magical rituals without protection, if you don't know what you're doing and you're a newbie, if you're a newbie to the channeling, don't start channeling out of nowhere. I don't allow entities in my body, just in case they aren't what they say they are. But I always protect myself. I surround myself with my spiritual team. Go back and listen to the one where I did about your spiritual team and your spiritual ascension team. If you are surrounded and connected and attached to the highest beings of light, chances are you're not going to get a spirit attachment. When my husband died and I was in the cemetery, a couple months later, I went to a psychic and she's like, yeah, you picked up something at that funeral. I'm like, oh my God. I was in a cemetery, it's like 200 years old. So God knows how old the spirit was that attached itself. It was like a little low-level demon. And I was like really, really angry. And she's like, yeah. Hospice places. I mean, those kind of places are hotbeds for low-level entities, demons, spirits, all that kind of stuff. So blood rituals, especially blood rituals. If you poke yourself and you're dripping, I don't mean like killing animals. No one does that. Hardly anyone does that. Psychopaths do that and call themselves Satanists. Satanists themselves don't even do that. So people who call themselves satanic cults don't know what the hell they're doing. You know, but low-level demons will be attracted to, even if you drop one or two drops of blood in something, especially if you're making like a witch's bottle, I don't recommend using blood, especially don't make a sacrifice by poking your finger. If you're a woman and you want to use menstrual blood, that's okay. I mean, you still got to fully protect yourself, but to make a witch's bottle, and if you're into magic, that's something that you want to make sure you're fully protected before you start using blood. I prefer like toenail clippings or fingernail clippings or pieces of hair, you know, stuff that isn't too macabre and creepy, like blood, you know. There's so much life force in your blood, and like the entities can feed off of that, and they assume you're doing something negative or dark, and when they assume that, then they will come and attach themselves to you because they like the energy of the dark and icky energy, and they want to create more of that in your life. They want to create more drama in your life. The more drama that's stirred up, the more you're going to do black magic rituals. The more you do black magic rituals, the more drama stirred up, and the more entities attach themselves to you. So don't get involved with any of that crap. It's all really bad. Low vibration, right? So places that you could pick up entities, also battlegrounds, places where there's been a lot of atrocities, murders, crimes that are unsolved, sadnesses, places of great violence, like the St. Valentine's Day Massacre in Chicago, all that kind of crap. Okay, you get the picture. I'm not gonna go into more of this. So the signs that you have a spirit attachment: unexplained fatigue, memory disturbance, mental disturbances, unexplained depression, mood changes, personality, behavior change out of nowhere, stuff that's completely and totally uncharacteristic for you. You know, you spent 55 years never gambling ever, and then suddenly you spend all the family money in 2 months. That would be a sign. All right. Suddenly you might have a weird talent. Suddenly out of nowhere you could play the frickin' piano. You had no interest in music before. Now you're playing the damn piano and you don't know why or how. And you know songs that you never even saw music to. And you don't know how to read music. That's a huge sign. Weird cravings out of nowhere. You've been a vegetarian your whole life. Suddenly you're eating meat all the time. That would be a sign. Bad luck, karma, that just seems really wrong or really bad or really, really weird, but not weird in a good way. having a sudden digestion disorders, headaches when a spirit attaches yourself. I had thousands of spirits attach themselves to me within a couple minutes. And my headache, I thought my head was going to freaking explode. I did not know that that was what was happening. I tried to free some slave spirits that were bound to the earth in Peru on this horrible ranch. Just, it was gorgeous. The place itself was gorgeous, but the energy was so bad. We went into the slave tunnels, and it's a tour you can go on. And it was part of a really elaborate 3-week tour. So I went ahead and I thought, well, I'm going to help the entities, if there's any hanging around. And you could still see the blood that looks fresh on the walls still from like a couple hundred years ago from the African slaves. And I was just like crying tears. It was horrible. The energy was so bad. And I was so angry at the slave owners. And then I realized that my anger wasn't my own. It came from the spirit. So I said, okay, anyone who needs to leave this place, I'm going to help you leave. And then I got distracted and I forgot to do the rest of the ritual. Oh God, right? So I went to the next city over and we're spending the night, and all of a sudden my head was so bad I thought I was going to die. I need water or something. There's something wrong. And I was just getting worse and worse. And I wrote to my friend, and he was a shaman, and he said, you know, you have a bunch of spirits attached to you. What the hell happened? I'm like, well, it's the spirits from the slaves, you know. And I learned in a hurry how to send them all to heaven at once. And that's how I learned. I cut my teeth by being literally attached to like 1,500 spirits. So I just sent them to heaven and I gave them love, and I had the angels come and get them. And I released them all to heaven. And when I did that, my headache was gone in 2 seconds. I was like, oh, thank God. But severe, sudden headaches that come on, and especially if you don't normally get headaches. Sleep disorders, can't sleep. You're normally a very, very happy person. Suddenly you want to commit suicide out of nowhere. It makes no sense to you. Sudden mental illness, voices, you hear them in your head or in your room. No one else can hear them. Doors start rattling, locks start locking and unlocking. I had a little boy spirit in my other apartment, and we would lock all, there's like two locks, we'd lock both locks, everything would be locked. I'd wake up in the morning, my kids were still asleep, and the door would be wide open. How freaking creepy is that? Every freaking day. And I'm like, and I kept accusing them, they kept accusing me, we're having fights, now we're causing drama. The spirit attached itself to us trying to get help. I finally got his dead grandmother to come and get him. He was about 4 years old. He didn't understand what's happening. But I mean, I was getting ready to yell at my kids yet one more time. Why'd you guys open the door? You're trying to freak me out. There's this little toy that kept appearing in different places in the house. When we got too close to the window, a glass started hovering above the ground and then just fell, dropped. Ooh, that was a creepy one. Right in the middle of the day, 3 p.m. Like, you don't expect this kind of crap to happen in the daytime, the sunshine. But it happened, but I helped him. He was murdered in that apartment. And after I left the apartment, I was able to see the whole scene, who did it from beginning to end. And I had to release all that information out to the universe and cosmos and heal the whole situation. Really horrible, dark, 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 dark energy. But I saw the door handle open, the door wide open right in front of me. I was like, oh my God. And it wasn't just the door like coming unlatched and then opening on its own, like it's a, you know, a scientifically explained thing. The door handle itself turned. The lock turned, and then the door handle turned, and then it opened. That's a sure sign you got a ghost. You got a ghost, Eve. That's happening. Sometimes you can have a spirit that doesn't attach itself to you, but rather wishes to communicate with you. And that's positive sometimes. If it's a dead relative that wants to come and say, hey, guess what? I'm here. I made it to the other side. Everything's cool. That's not going to be an attachment to you. It won't be a parasitic energy. In these cases, these are the things that happen when it's just a ghostie trying to get in touch with you, letting you know it's there. Usually it's a relative who loves you, and they want, and especially someone who just died. My dad rang my stepmother's phone. Her cell phone would ring once. She'd answer it and no one would be there. Sometimes she'd answer it and it'd just be breathing, and then they'd hang up. And then she'd try to call back, and there was no number. It'd just say zero. My dad haunted us all, wanting us all to know he was okay. He came to me in my dreams, and then I was able to tell everybody, oh, I called my stepmom. Oh, the phone keeps ringing. That's dad. He wanted me to tell you. He came to me in a dream. She's like, oh my God, I was wondering. My dad made an eagle fly next to my brother's truck for like 20 minutes. Eagles don't do that. But my dad was able to inhabit temporarily the body of an eagle so my brother would know, because that was my dad's favorite bird. So sometimes you'll see like if someone is about to die, you'll get a message from an angel that's a black butterfly or a black moth. I've gotten messages from both. In China, they believe that a butterfly, a beautiful butterfly, a pretty color, usually color related to that person who died, maybe their favorite color, so blue or yellow or white or whatever, will come and land in your house or on your windowsill or on your hand. A butterfly comes and acts a little strange for a few minutes. That's usually what it is. It's just a message that they're okay and everything's fine. They're not trying to attach themselves to you, so don't panic when you get these symptoms. Birds, sometimes other animals. Phone rings once. If your clock stops or your phone, which is fully charged, just shuts off completely. Doesn't always have to be an alien abduction. It could be a spirit in the room trying to say, hey, guess what? I'm okay. Usually it'll be like if the person died at 10:20 at night, usually at 10:20 at night, a few months later, that's when the phone's going to stop. Or it'll get stuck on that, like the screen will stick and it'll be that, or a phone, a clock on the wall will stop working at that exact moment. That's when the person's saying, look, I'm here, everything's fine. I made it to the other side, I'm good, I love you. That's what these things mean. A lot of times you'll see orbs when you take pictures with your cell phone or other phones. Lights will flicker Or sometimes the light bulb will just blow right up. You know, brand new bulb, pop it in, and then boom! Oh, no. It's because the spirit's trying to attack. No, not attack, I'm sorry. The spirit's trying to communicate to you through the light bulb. I've had my microwave light flicker. I've had light bulbs flicker. When I was pregnant with my first child, the spirit of my child was trying to communicate with me through the lights. It's not always a deceased entity. Might be an entity coming in. If you're pregnant, and this isn't going to happen because your baby's trying to communicate with you before it's born to give you information on how to raise it, him or her, okay? So room temperatures will suddenly change. Sometimes your thermostat will change. Sometimes it'll become very, very hot or very, very cold. If it's a grandma that you had or a grandpa that always liked the heat turned way the hell up, sometimes that will happen in your house too, so they can let you know that they're okay. Doesn't mean they're in hell. Don't panic about that. Handles turning, doors opening, doesn't always have to be a negative entity or a spirit needing or wanting help. Sometimes it's just somebody screwing with you. My dad locked my doors, locked me out of my house. And then I watched as and I heard his laugh and I smelled his pipe tobacco, cherry to pipe tobacco. I'm like, Dad, can you open the fucking door? I have to pee, you know? And my dad, I heard his laugh again and I saw the door open and the sliding glass door was able to open it again. Sliding glass doors, even everything. I've seen window locks lock and unlock. But for me, it's going to happen a lot around me because I'm a shaman and I deal with ghosts all the time. So, if you see movements or shadows out of the corner of your eye, singing music, it comes out of nowhere. At night, I used to hear a band of Native Americans singing their song. I have also, when I'm in meditation, I've heard Tibetan and Asian music. Sometimes you could be out walking in the woods and hear a choir of angels. All this can be signs from above that everything is good. So these are not negative, okay, with the spirit attachments. They can be very, very positive. All right, feathers, seashells that come out of nowhere, rocks that came out of nowhere, or numbers on license plates. A car will pull in front of you, be your favorite color of your loved one, and there's their birthday right on the license plate. Or 1111, you know, 222, 333, stuff like that. 444 means the angels are with you. You're okay. So what are the top 12 things that you need to do to get rid of a spirit attachment? Egg magic. If it's a sexual attachment, in fact, do it right now. Get rid of all the attachments sexually you've had. So now you're going to clear yourself. Okay. Rub it on your navel. Rub it on the chakras in your little, you know, your whole body, rub it all over your whole body, genitals, breasts, wherever the person touched you and where they touched you the most, that's where you run the egg. When you are done doing that and you cleanse yourself, like, and by the way, not a hard boiled egg or a scrambled egg. Use a normal egg, just a normal egg, just right from the carton, fresh from the carton. And you're going to cleanse your aura. You just, like, as if you are using washcloth on your body, you do this on the outside of your body for your, where your prana aura and your aura are, okay? I do have another episode on this. And write me if you really, really want more information. Otherwise, go get the book by Draja Mikaharik called Egg Magic, okay? When you're done cleansing yourself, you flush your toilet, and while the water is out of the bowl, you slam the egg as hard as you can against the inside of the porcelain part. It will break, and then the water will continue to take it away. That is how you get rid of the sexual energy attached to your body. Sunlight, stand in the sun a lot, chanting, frequencies of high hertz frequency, 432, and solfeggio frequencies, binaural beats will help. The Reiki, any kind of vibrational thing. Chanting, Kodosh, 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 Adonai Sabaoth, that will help. Okay, I'm going to take a quick break and I'm going to tell you the rest when I come right back. Okay. Okay, now that one, Kodesh, 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 Adonai Tzebaeth, is directly from the Emerald Tablets of Hermes. It is an extremely high vibration chant to chant, but you can chant other things. You can chant in the name of Krishna, Om Namaha Krishna, Om Namaha Krishna, or you could just Om Mani Padme Om, Om Tat Sat Om. There was a story about a man who had a entity attached to his house. Now, an entity can attach itself to you, your pet, a plant, an object in your house, such as a piece of jewelry, or the place itself, or your house, or even your car. All right? So it might not only just be you that it attaches to. So there was a man who was chanting, Om Mani Padme Om, Om Tat Sat Om, right? And he started to chant it louder and louder and louder. And the louder he got, the entity that he felt in his house left his house, and he heard it running across the roof to get away from that high vibration. Low-level spirits, demons, negative entities, negative thought form patterns, and dark nature spirits who have turned angry, cannot stand the high vibration of peace, beauty, joy, and love. Okay? So that's like the best. That is a really, really, that's one of the best. You know, just pick a chant that you love, something you are emotionally, energetically, or spiritually connected to, something that resonates with your heart, and go with it. And chant it with power, personal power. Feel empowered when you chant it, and do it deliberately, like you mean it. That's how you're going to get rid of the entity or attachment. Prayers. The Quran has many verses that are very magical. You could go on, if you're interested in the Quran, you can go look on YouTube, say Quran for spirit attachment, Quran to get rid of a demon. And you can either memorize the verse yourself and say it, which is more powerful. There is one that I think it's if the chapter Miriam, which is if you can say it in Arabic, has more power because it's an ancient language. You can say Miriam over a glass of water, and it will protect you spiritually and also get rid of any illnesses that you have. The Quranic verses are used many, many times for magical purposes. They don't call it that, but it's magic. You can use biblical verses as well as verses from the Torah or any holy book that you feel still has a high vibration, whatever you connect and resonate with it with, of course, and you can look it up and see what other people use and see if that connects with you as well. Salt water, take a salt water bath, pour it over your head, do it 3 times and say in the name of the universe or God or whoever, you know, whoever you connect with. The goddess ocean, or if you're into the African deities, or goddess Aphrodite, if you want to disconnect from love that went wrong, you know, you could, you know, match it to who you are in your situation in particular. Holy water, if you don't want to do salt water, holy water, Batman, do holy water. You could get it from your local Catholic church or make it yourself. I prefer that you make it yourself. How do you make holy water? Well, if you are a Wiccan and you want to go the magical way, you pour high vibration sea salt. If you want to blow smoke on it first, you can. You pour that into water in the form of a pentacle or a pentagram. And you say your holy words, you know, God and goddess, Lord and lady, please bless this water, make it holy. And then, you know, and say that 3 times, and then you put your hands over the water and put your energy and love and high vibration into it. Again, you could do some chanting if you want. If that's not your, it's not your jam, that's cool. You don't have to do that at all. To make holy water, if you are a Christian, you ask Lord Jesus to come and bless the water and allow him to work through your hands and you ask maybe God or Father, Son, Holy Spirit to come and bless the water, and then you will take the water. And I would do an equal arm cross because it is more a balanced symbol. But that's also the equal arm cross of Hecate. If that bothers you, you can do a cross or whatever shape, or even just in a circle, just a normal circle. You do three circles, one, you know, for God, one for the the Father, the Holy Spirit, and the Son. Okay. If you're Jewish, Star of David, obviously, right? Ask Moses to come and bless it with his spirit, or just God directly. And if you're Hindu, there's like 300 million gods and goddesses. Take your pick. whatever floats your boat, basically, spiritually and energetically, whatever you resonate with, nothing is wrong. As long as you're doing this for the light and high vibration to raise yourself and lift away the spirit attachment that's on you or your kids or your pet or your dog or in your house. You can use a floor wash of holy water as well as herbs that give you a lift, you know, orange, rose, lang lang, jasmine, whatever. Again, has a super high vibration for you and resonates with you. Put that in floor wash, or you can just get a Florida water from your local magic shop. That does work as well. And mix the holy water in with that. That will get rid of any entity and prevent it from attaching itself back to your house. All right. I do have how to get rid of a ghost episode. This is how to get rid of a spirit attachment to your body. Pour holy water over your head in a ritualistic fashion in your, you can do it in your backyard if you really want, or I would just say in your bathtub, you know, or in your shower. That's fine. That works too. But holy water, salt water, both of them work. Holy water is salt water when you add rose essential oil to it. Don't have essential oil of rose. You could add rose petals to it. Let it sit under like a full moon or the sun. The sun I would prefer, honestly, because the high vibration of the sun will just make it that much higher in vibration, obviously. Ask the spirit to leave forcefully with power. Speak from authority, from your authority, from your solar plexus just below your heart. And then speak from your heart. Ask it to leave. If it's a human, well, if a human you don't like who's still alive is in your house, you can ask it to leave, or I mean him or her to leave. Same difference. It's a person. It's just a person that's disincarnate. Smoke. You want to smoke, you get some organic Native American tobacco. Not like a normal cigarette, but like a native plant cigarette. You can take one and crush it in your hands. Ask your ancestors to guide and help you and protect you and get rid of any negative attachments. And then you burn one. You don't have to smoke it. If you have asthma, especially don't. You could use a smoke to cleanse your aura. Another thing you could do, smudge. Sage, sweetgrass, and cedar are the preferable ones. You can get the a mixture of sweetgrasses in most health food stores or in like magic shops or specialty shops. Even shops like in Chinatown, in San Francisco, I've seen stuff like this. You can just burn sage. You know, sage works. If you're anywhere near cedar bark works. Incense, just plain old incense you get at the grocery store, works in a pinch. That can cleanse your aura, and you say the chanting and you do all the other stuff that can help. Crystals. You can use certain crystals, especially snowflake obsidian. I've mentioned that a few times in the past month. Do not work with black rocks or stones when you're having an attachment, because they will attach to the stone, especially plain obsidian. Snowflake obsidian is different. It will take out negative and put out only positive energy. Black tourmaline that has black and white tourmaline also does the same thing. You can use a quartz crystal to get the entity to attach the quartz, and you could bury it in your yard for like 7 days, or just put it in holy water, or to raise your vibration and protect yourself from getting spirit attachments. All this stuff will prevent it as well. The 11th thing to do, magical herbal formulas. You could look up what will work for you in your situation. Again, you can burn it or you can boil water. There are many, many, many different formulas. You can go find your own online. I was given one by Bruja. I had gotten what I didn't know if it was an attachment or just a curse or a bad, evil spell cast against me, but I felt there was something wrong. Might have just been the spirit of the city of Lima not liking me. She does that to people. A lot. She does that to people. And so I used this. I took a bottle of water, like a just a empty water bottle, filled it up with shower water, put the herb in, shook it up. And what she told me to do was to pour it from the top of my head over my entire body. And I had to shout, fuera, fuera, fuera. Fuera, 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 which means get out, get out, get out. You could do it in your own language, of course. I was in a Spanish-speaking country. I learned this from a Spanish-speaking witch, and so I did it in Spanish, which is also super fun. Because I got to roll my R's, fuera. You don't have to do that, but I did, and it worked. And you know what? I felt great after that. And it doesn't take a whole lot, maybe like, you know, half a teaspoon of the ground up crushed herbs. And that's another way to go about it. The 12th thing, if you are really, really, really scared, get some outside help. If all these other things failed, usually they won't, though, you're going to be fine. But if you're still scared, you can go to a shaman or a healer or a psychic, someone who does Reiki. You can use Reiki from the power grid that I've put around the planet, me and thousands of other light workers who do Reiki. There is a Reiki grid, and it's pink. And has little bits of white and silver in it. And it's right below your feet. You're standing on it right now. It will, you just ask for free Reiki and it will just flow into your body where it needs to be. Ask it to delete all spirit attachments and it will automatically. Guaranteed, okay? The other thing is, if you want to ask your outside, you ask someone on the outside but not another person, you can ask your spirit team, your spirit ascension team. Ask Archangel Michael. He's got a sword and he will cut away any and all cords, any and all spirit attachments, negative entities, anything. Anything and everything, he will cut it away. So ask your team, your guides, Archangel Michael. And if you feel like you have been injured by something, ask Archangel Raphael to come and heal you with his emerald green light. They'll probably start from your heart, your chest area, and it will go throughout your whole body, this beautiful, beautiful emerald green light. If you want more help from a visualization, ask for the violet flame to come and just flame you up, baby. It will delete all negative attachments and it will make you feel amazing. Imagine that it's like a flame, like fire, but it's bright, frickin' violet, like purple, lavender, and it goes through your whole body and your aura, and it cleanses everything as it goes, and yet it won't burn you. Anyway, those are all the ways that I could think of. You know, all this stuff will help cleanse your aura, it'll cleanse your chakras, it'll cleanse your vibration, it will release all spirit attachments. And if you don't know how to release a ghost and you don't want to do it, you're afraid, tell it, look, I can't do this for you, but you need to go to, you know. Now, if you went through all this, what happens if you still feel pressure in your head or a headache? It's probably your ancestors pushing on your head so that you understand that you are a shaman and you need to own that and you need to start learning the spiritual way. Your path is not a normal path. And this is what happened to me. This is what's happened to my youngest. My youngest was like, I just feel this pressure in my head. There's all this weird stuff. And I'm like, I'm like, oh, wait, you're a shaman. He's like, what? Yeah, you're supposed to work with the dead and you're supposed to work with the angel of death, the new angel of death, not me, but with, you know, that's where you got to do. He started doing that and all the pressure in his head and headaches went away. Just like that. But anyway, I hope that this has helped you. It's been an extremely long episode. Sorry about that, but it's a lot of information to get through. It's extremely important as we go through our ascension to know that if this stuff is starting to happen to you or has been happening to you and you haven't quite gotten rid of the attachments, and that's might be what's holding you back on your ascension path, you need to address it. And I just gave you all the ways in which you can absolutely do that. Tomorrow, I will be back with a brand new, fresh, unique show, all new information. In fact, we're going to do Weird News Wednesday. I love Weird News Wednesdays. I'm so excited. I started writing this show. This is one reason why I'm an hour late. So sorry about that, guys. Hour and a half now. My goal is to always get this show out by midnight California time. And sometimes I get it out by 1:30 in the morning, California time. And usually it's because of internet. Today was because I was doing a lot of paperwork. I was downtown. I was gone for hours. All day long I was gone. And then also I got to this point and went, oh, hey, it's Weird News Wednesday. And I started writing out tomorrow's show. And then I went, wait a minute, this was Tuesday's show. What am I doing? So I'm already halfway done with tomorrow's show, which I'm hoping I'll get out early. So I don't know if that makes up for it or not, but anyway, as always, I love each and every one of you. That's part of the ascension. You learn to love everybody on earth, whether or not they piss you off or not. You still love them no matter what. Don't have to invite them over for dinner, but you do have to learn to love them, right? So, but I love each and every one of you. Thank you for being my listener. Thank you for tuning in. If you are a brand new listener, thank you. My friend Jamel, in case you're listening, he's a brand new listener, just favorited my podcast. Thank you, man. I'm so happy to have you on board. He became my friend. He's in Algeria. So he might be listening to the show from Algeria. How cool is that? Again, I love each and every one of you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being my listener. Please spread the word about my show. I want more people to hear the information and get it out there because we want all of humanity to ascend together so we could be in a happy, positive, vibrational way. If you have any questions, comments, or anything you want to discuss with me or even ideas for upcoming shows, metaphysicalsoulspeak@gmail.com. If you want to send me a voice message that you want me to play on the air, anchor.fm/metaphysical. I am now, well, that's all I got to say about that. I'm signing off now, guys, with peace and joy and the high vibes of the holy fifth dimension. Until next time, peace. Metaphysical Soul Speak is run on sponsors and listener support. This means listeners like you. If you are so inclined to support my efforts and my little podcast, please visit me at anchor.fm/metaphysical and pledge an amount of your choosing today. Thank you.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.